Amen. We thank God for changes that heal. If you have not done it, we highly encourage you to ensure you join a group, participate, and your life will never be the same again. Some connection groups have done it together, and so you'll definitely be blessed if you participate. Shall we just pray together? Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you this morning for your word. And we thank you that, Lord, even as you speak to us, you desire that indeed we walk in faith and be among those who live by faith. Be among those and be those who believe. Father, we thank you for healing that is taking place in our midst. We thank you for miracles. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are in operation. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives today. Because, Lord, your word says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we thank you that, Father, you desire that we walk in freedom. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you desire, in accordance to your word, which says that he who the Son of Man sets free shall be free indeed. We thank you for those that will accept you as Lord and Savior this morning. We submit your leadership, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we continue the series, Those Who Believe. And I hope you've been blessed so far, and I hope your faith has been stirred up to what God wants us to do and to be able to walk in faith. And so today we'd like to shift our focus and attention to Sarah, somebody that probably you and I well know and have heard of. So our title today is simply, By Faith, Sarah. By Faith, Sarah. Last week, Pastor Benjamin talked about Moses and the choices that we make. And other than that, it is important we note the choices that we're making because they have a bearing not only on our lives, but also on the lives of those that follow after us. Prior to that, Pastor Walker also talked about Abraham and how he acted by faith in obeying what God had said about going. Okay? And also, not just obeying, Abraham did what God said. And so he walked in faith. And so one thing we will establish in this series is that faith is an action word. Faith is an action word. It involves doing something. It involves doing something. And so you cannot just sit and say, I am in faith, and yet you're doing nothing. That is not faith. Because also the Bible says that faith without works is dead. So you cannot see it and say, I am in faith, and you're not doing anything. You need to do certain things, and we're going to see quite a number of things about that. So today we're looking at Sarah and what the Bible says about her faith. What the Bible says about her faith. In Hebrews 11, the scripture, the text that we've been looking at the past couple of weeks, we're looking at verse 11, where the Bible says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength. So the first thing I would like us to note in the above scripture are the words, Sarah herself. Sarah herself. And why is it important that we should look at that, those words, Sarah herself? It's important because the word herself there in the Greek is automatos, which means of one's own accord. Of one's own accord. And why is this important? Because many of the times when we think of Isaac as the miracle child, many of the times our attention is focused on Abraham. He believed. Abraham, the man of faith. Yes, and that is very true. But Sarah equally needed to believe for herself for there to be the miracle child. Sarah needed to believe for herself. And that is why in Hebrews it says, by faith, Sarah herself, of her own accord, she believed. Of her own accord, she believed. So let's probably break it down and see a little bit more about this story. So we can understand, why is there an emphasis of Sarah herself believing God for herself? We ought to believe God for ourselves. You cannot be riding on other people's faith every time. Hello? And that is why you cannot ride on other people. It's not always that you wait, no, the pastor will pray for me. You need to have the faith for yourself. You need to believe God for yourself. Genesis 18 and verse 9. Then they say to him, "Where is Sarah your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah your wife will have a son." Who is this that is saying, "I will return"? It's the Lord. Sarah was listening in the tent, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also." And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old?'" I love the next question that the Lord asks. "Is anything too hard for me, for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah will have a son." But Sarah denied it, like many of the times we do, saying, "I did not love." For she was afraid and said, "No." But he said, "No. But you did love." Sarah loved. So why is it important for us to note that Sarah herself received strength to conceive? It's because Sarah was not in faith in the first place. When the word came, Sarah doubted, hence she loved. She was not in faith. She was not in faith when the word came. And sometimes we are like Sarah. When the word comes, we laugh. We doubt God's word about a situation. We doubt. Why did Sarah laugh? Verse 12 helps us and it answers the question. In verse 12 of the same scripture in Genesis, it says, "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, 'After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord also being old?'" So she realized one thing. I'm old. I'm past childbearing age. I can't conceive. Biologically, it's impossible. And so she laughed. She was doubting, saying, "It's impossible." But that was not her only problem. That was not her only problem. There was another problem. Genesis 11 and verse 29. Then Abraham now took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. Obviously, you know that's Sarah because the name is later on changed. And the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Issachar. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. So, Sarah laughed and was in doubt because not only was she old, she was also barren. Situations that seemed impossible. Because she's thinking at this point, if I was to have a child, I should have had a child by now. So if I do not have a child by now, then you just come and tell me to say I will have a child. Is that possible? She laughed off. It's one of those stories. And sometimes we laugh. You see, it's one of those things, you know, when pastors try to make you feel good. But this is the word of the Lord. This was God speaking. He said, "By this time next year, I will return. And Sarah will have a child." For some of us, we relate to this literally. To some of us, figuratively. For some of us, the barrenness may not be physically, the barrenness may be your business. It's not growing, it's not been growing. And you've reached a point where you're giving up because you're like, you've tried everything possible, this is not working. For others, it's probably marriage. You've used every form of powder that is known on earth. Nobody says hi. And you're saying, Lord, why me? Because why? You're giving up. Because why? This is something that has been happening in your life. Nobody, all the people that come your way do not even know Christ. And you keep wondering, Lord, why? Why me, Lord? For some of us, it's not just marriage, it's not just business. It's different situations that we're going through. But not only that, it's because now, Sarah, the Bible says, had gone past childbearing age. It's probably a sickness that you've had for some time. And because you've had it for some time, Sarah began to identify with this, that she was barren. And it became the status quo. You've been sick for so long. You've had BP for so long. You even say, my BP. And because now you identify with it, it becomes a part of you. It's like that identity that you've gotten, that this is mine. Even the sickness you say is yours. That even when the word of God says, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. You begin to doubt to say, how? Because why? For 12 years, you've been with that situation. But let me tell you something, child of God. If only you can move from a place of doubt to a place of faith, you can be like Sarah and conceive. If you move from that place. There's a story of a woman with an issue of blood. She gets to a place of realizing to say, if only I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. I will be made whole. And she was made whole. Children of God, when you are in faith, things happen. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. Believe God even in that situation. That seems impossible. It may be barrenness. It may be the fact that you've had it for a long time. Believe God. Believe God even in that situation that seems impossible. God is able to do something. Sarah was asked, the Lord asked, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything that is impossible with the Lord? But many of the times when we are asked that question, we're quick to say, no, nothing. But when we bring it into the context of the situation we're going in or going through, we don't believe that all things are possible to those that believe. We don't believe. I came to tell you something. God is still doing miracles. God is still healing the sick. God is still setting the captives free. God is still raising the dead. God is still alive. We don't serve a Jesus or a God that is dead. He rose on the third day and he's alive. If you believe his word, you will see his word come to life in your life. And things will work. I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was in South Africa. I was teaching in class. I was teaching on the subject of prayer. And as we were in that class, there was a man who was seated in the front row. I didn't know this until he told me. He had diabetes. He had BP. I don't know what else. But all that resulted in his left eye could not move. I think he had a partial stroke or something. His left eye could not move. So if he had to look this way, he had to turn. So even in class, every time I moved this way, he had to turn his entire body to look this way. And so as we're talking about prayer, and we talk about the fact that when we pray, God answers. Let me tell you something, children of God. Many of the times we think the very fact that we have a problem, God knows the problem, he will come in. No. You need to ask him. You need to listen to this. God has set patterns in which he works on the earth. Are we seeing that? The Bible says the heavens are the Lord's and the earth is given to the sons of men. So we are in control here on earth. And so when he comes in, he needs your invitation. So even if you have a problem or a challenge, unless you ask him, that's why the Bible says you do not have because you do not ask. Are you seeing that? Every one of us in here, we use the doors to come in. If you used the roof, we would have caught you and dealt with you nicely. Or if you jumped the fence to enter this property, we would have dealt with you. There is a gate that you used. Are we seeing that? And so even God he follows boundaries. And so even in your situation, even if you have a problem, but God, if God knows, why doesn't he come into the situation? There is a reason why the Bible says, I stand at the door and knock. Who opens? It's you to invite him. Are you seeing that? He stands at the door and knock. So if you are there seated and waiting that he will manifest, he will not manifest until you call on him. Are we seeing that? Until we invite him and begin and believe in faith, then he will come and intervene in that situation. Sarah judged him faithfully. Judged him faithfully. There are many things that sometimes we struggle with. And I was talking about this man in South Africa. So he couldn't turn his eyes probably to the left or right properly because he had to turn his whole body. And I remember in class then we said, because we talked about this and we talked about faith, and he says, what does the Bible say about healing? He says, by his stripes, we were healed. And we said, all right, we're going to pray. Do you believe his word? We opened the Bible, Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes we are healed. And so we spoke the word of God. We laid hands on him. He healed his own eye, prayed for him. The man was instantly healed. And he began to turn his eyes this way and that way. The Lord healed him. The Lord healed him. He was scheduled for some medical procedure. I don't know whether it was surgery or something. I don't know. About a week or two later, when Brother Nigel came back here, he was teaching at Rhema. He told me when the man went to the hospital, they sent him back to say he has no problem. There's no sugar. There's no BP. There's no nothing. The Lord healed him. The Lord healed him. Jesus is still in the business of doing miracles. He is still doing it. We were at youth camp a couple of weeks ago, and one girl had injured her leg last year. And so we prayed. There were quite a number of people that were sick that day. And so we prayed. The Lord healed her instantly. The following day, that leg which had pain no longer had pain. She was doing aerobics the following morning. And you know, when the youth do aerobics, you know there's lots of energy. If she had pain, she would not have done that. But the Lord healed her. What am I saying? We can move from a place of doubt to a place of faith. Sarah never began in a place of faith. And sometimes we look at ourselves and thinking, can that happen to me? Maybe only those. No. Sarah began in a place of doubt. She laughed. She never believed it could happen for her. She never believed. She never believed. But we see that something needs to change. Even if you have had a problem for so long, let God's word be true for your life. What does God say about that particular situation? What does God say about your case? What does God say about your case? And when you know what God says, you can stand on that word. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, And she bore a child when she was past the age. Because why? She judged him faithfully. She considered that he was faithful. Who did what? Who promised? Children of God, as long as you do not believe that he's faithful to do it, you will not receive that. But when you believe that God wants you well, when you believe that God wants you healed, you hold on to that word, you will stand on God's word, which says, by his stripes I am healed. So whatever has been barren in your life, what does God say about that situation? And I pray in the name of Jesus that it will come back to life. The things that seem to have died in your life, may they come back to life that you may glorify the Lamb of the Lord. Because God is still at work. So she moved from a place of doubt to a place of faith. She moved from a place of doubt to a place of faith. Children of God, let me say this. We need to start walking in faith. We need to start walking in faith. The Bible says in Romans 8, creation awaits in eager expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. Creation is waiting for manifestation. Creation is waiting. The world is waiting to see who the children of God are. People that walk by faith. Not people who also participate in corruption. Creation is waiting. Creation is waiting. And why is it that we should move from doubt to faith? It's simply because this, children of God. Because the lack of faith among believers has led us to yield to corruption. The lack of faith has led us to yield to lies, to fornication, cohabiting. Simply because we do not believe that God can provide. Henceforth, you force yourself to start staying with that man. Or maybe the man is the one who forces himself to stay with the woman. Like Pastor Benjamin said it last week. Because you do not believe that the Lord is able to lead you, that you should be able to have your own partner. So you can be properly, legally, biblically married here in France. But you try to make your own shortcuts. Sarah did that. Sarah did that. The Bible says she could not conceive, and she tells Abraham to say, you know what, Abraham, I have a maid servant there. You can be with her. Probably she can give you a child and will probably consider her as my child. Come on, children of God. The promise was Isaac, not Ishmael. Don't start trying to help God, trying to bribe people, thinking, then you come and testify the Lord has been faithful. It's not the Lord. It's not the Lord. Trust him even when it seems as though there is no hope. Look to God. The Bible says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who? The author and the finisher of our faith. God is still doing miracles, children of God. God is still doing miracles and we can believe him. Creation is waiting. So I'd like to share a few things that hinder faith in our lives. A few things that hinder faith in our lives. The first one is traditions of men. Traditions of men. In Mark chapter 7 verse 13, it says, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. That's a very interesting scripture. Making the word of God of no effect. And yet the Bible says, the word of the Lord is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide the soul and the spirit, the bones and the bone marrows, able to judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God is so powerful. The Bible says that the word of God is like a hammer, like a fire that breaks rocks into pieces. Now the question is, how is it that such a powerful word of God can still be hindered? By our own traditions. By our own traditions. No, this is the way we are. We get accustomed to the way things are, the status quo. Even when God is asking you to step out of the boat, like Peter, we're still thinking, no, it's here. We keep it here. here. Because we are comfortable with here. Children of God, it's time to step out and be the difference. It's time to step out and be the difference. Look at this. I said creation is waiting. This nation needs solutions. The solutions are seated and listening to me right now. But what are you doing to bring about solutions for this nation? It's time we begin to step out and be the answer to the problems of this land. And not just be seated here. All we do is tweet and Facebook. And busy sending us petitions. Please petition this on Facebook. No! Step out and act. That is faith. Faith is calling us to do something. Be the one. If it means you're the only one in that organization that says not corruption, be that one. That is what faith is all about. Moving from doubt to faith. Let's move. Because we know that even if I lose my job today because I refuse to be corrupt, I know my job is not my source. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my God will provide. Because He is the one that gave me this job in the first place. Moving from doubt to faith. Beginning to believe God for who He is. Believing His word. Believing His word. I'm not trying to fit with everyone. You see, but how will others look at me? Paul talked about knowing boundaries. You learn it in changes that heals. Hello? Yeah. Knowing boundaries. Able to say no. And no is a complete sentence. No, full stop. No explanation. Walk away. Amen? It's time to be able to do that. Traditions of men. Let me tell you something, children of God. Do not elevate anything above the word of God. Do not elevate anything above the word of God. And many of the things, the traditions that we try to keep, we try to elevate above the word of God. No, but this is the way we do it. Is that what the Bible says you should do? Is that what the Bible says you should do? Do not let your feelings, education, or whatever you want to boast in, be elevated above the word of God. Let the word of God be supreme in your life. Let the word of God be first in your life. So if God says go, you go. If God says you go, you go. We still have so many Rhema graduates that are seated in the pews. They don't even lead any connection group. You have graduated. You've packed your diplomas. Do not let anything come above the word of God. What is God saying to you? When you were in class, you are busy crying and saying, Lord, I feel the Lord is calling me to ministry. It is time to go and minister and do the work of God. It's time. Creation is waiting in eager expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. And yet the sons of God are seated in the pews doing nothing. It's time to act in faith. It's time to act in faith. For some of us, you've not just been to Rhema. You probably came from a different church you were leading. You're a home cell leader. Others, you're even pastors, seated. Yes. Seated, doing nothing. I said, I know, you see, praise the Lord. We enjoy miracle life. We are blessed by the service. Everything's on time. The service starts on time. Come on. Come and be part of what God is doing here. Do your part. Begin to walk in faith. I don't know. That was not in my notes. I guess somebody needed to hear that. Traditions of men. What have you believed more than God's word in your life? That needs to change. That needs to change. Begin to believe God's word. Believe God's word. And your life will be changed. The second thing that hinders our faith is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Mark 11 verse 22 to 25 says, So Jesus answered and said to them, Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. So Jesus was talking about faith in verse 22. Then he talked about how to release your faith in your words, in your saying in verse 23. How to release your faith in praying in verse 24. In verse 25 to 26, he talks about one of the greatest enemies of faith in your life, and that is unforgiveness. And as long as you hold on to it, it hinders the move of God in your life. Unforgiveness. And look at this. If you're struggling in an area, and this is an area you're struggling with in terms of unforgiveness, and you want mountain-moving faith to manifest, take some time and forgive those that you haven't forgiven. Forgiveness is not for the person that you want to forgive. It is for you. Because when you forgive them, then we'll be able to see that God is able to forgive you. Because sometimes we think, but how does it even help them? They don't even change. And have you realized one thing? Have you realized one thing? Is that the very people we try to hurt or we're still holding grudges with, sometimes we find that they don't even know, eh? He's even passive whistling in front of your office. You hear, oh, see them. The one who is struggling, who is bothered, is you. They are busy enjoying their own life. So whose benefit is it that you should forgive them? You! So that you stop moving with that heavy heart. Whenever you see them, your heart pops out. You're like, you even changed the route. Forgive them. It is for your benefit. Unforgiveness hinders faith. The third aspect or thing that hinders faith is the lack of the Word of God. The lack of the Word of God. In Romans 10 verse 17 it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. In Hebrews 10:39, it says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Faith comes by hearing. So for us to be among those who believe, we need to hear the Word of God. Not only hear it, but believe it. Pastor Sombo likes to say, faith comes by hearing and not having heard. So, I have a question for you this morning. What is informing you about your situation? Is it the Word of God? What is it that you believe about the trouble, the challenge that you have in your life? What have you believed? Is it the Word of God? Are you believing the Word of God, or are you believing what others have said? This one, this one, no, it's done. You're gone. This one, this one, no, you can't. Or do you believe what God says about that situation? The God who parted the Red Sea and people walked on dry land. Do you ever imagine what happened that day? Imagine you're walking, this is the sea. You can even see the fish, and yet the water is not hitting you, and you're walking. God can do miracles. God can do something in your life. And listen to me. You don't need somebody to come and lay hands on you. All you need is to believe the word for yourself. Believe what God has just said. Lord, you said it. I believe it. And when you believe it, it will work for you. Many of the times we are waiting. No, you see, pastor needs to lay hands on me. And then, then that's when it will work. The pastor, yes. No. Believe God. Believe God. He can do something in your life right now as you're listening to his word. Believe him. Believe him. He can do something and change your life, and you'll never be the same again. Amen? Do we have anybody who's sick in here? Okay, you can see one hand. Two, three. Okay. Okay. All right. For those of you that are sick, the Bible says in Isaiah 53:5, it said, by his stripes, you are healed. In fact, in 1 Peter, it says, you were healed. It says, you were healed. You're not trying to be healed. You were healed. So wherever you are, we want to believe God for his word. Wherever you are, just touch where there's pain. Touch wherever there's pain. Wherever you are. Those of you that raised your hand, in case you're feeling, especially if you're feeling the pain in your body, just raise your hand so I can see them again. Okay, in the back, yes. Just touch where there's pain. We're going to pray right now. Father, we thank you for your word. It says, by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. We are healed. Thank you, Lord, that healing is children's bread. We thank you that healing is children's bread. And Lord, we're not trying to get healed. We thank you that healing was already given to us. And so we speak to that pain. We speak to that illness. Right now, lift up in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing in Jesus' name. Receive your healing in Jesus' name. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Your word says that every plant my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. So every pain in your body is being uprooted in this minute. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. My sister, you raised your hand in a white skin. You had raised your hand. You had pain earlier on. Yes. Can you feel any pain in your body? You've been healed? Praise the Lord. Let's not clap. Let's just lift up our hands to God. Let's lift up our hands to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for what you've done. So you've been healed completely, ne? Are you feeling any pain? Please check yourself. I'd like you to check yourself. Check yourself. Check. Where there was pain, check. What was the problem? There was pain in your leg? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Stamp your foot. Do what you couldn't do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You've been healed. Please take a seat. For the rest of us, I believe wherever you are, you'll be healed. Only believe. One of the reasons why I did not walk up to her and lay hands on her is for us to begin to realize it's not always that a pastor should come and lay hands on you. You need to believe God for yourself. Believe what his word says. She believed, she's received. For the rest of us, as we're in this service, believe and you will be healed. It might not be healing. It might be something else. Believe, you will receive. God is still working. God is still doing great things. Amen. Many of the times we're struggling because there's a lack of the word of God in us. God's word is not seated in our hearts. We don't know what God has said. Let me tell you something. If you do not know what God has said about your situation, what will you stand on? What will you stand on? Believers, let's learn to know God's promises for our lives. You can't trust anybody else to know the word for you. You can't trust it. Later on, you can't even trust, no, pastor, the pastor will pray for me. Even me, I'll forget. Hey, we've had a busy schedule. We've had a long time. I'm telling you the truth. We have had a long week. It's been a rough week for us. It's been busy. And you expect me that I'll pray for each one of you? As a matter of fact, I don't even know every one of you here. In case you didn't know, it's the truth. I probably won't even remember your name. If you're upset, sorry, but it's the truth. And then you're expecting that I'll come and pray for you. Hello? And when nothing is happening, you're wondering. Then you want to start seeking and flying aeroplanes to find to go up to people that can help you. When you have the Bible in your closet, if you only can believe the word of God, and your life will be changed. Believe his word. Move from doubt to faith. Sarah did that. She had impossible situations. She was barren. She was past her age. She was 99 years old when she conceived. 99. Not at no, maybe 50 something. 99.
double past the childbearing age. In case you are thinking, Jesus is double past it. See how God can do miracles. God can do it for you. God can do it for you. John 11, verse 40. He says, Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you will believe, you will see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me. And now when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped in with cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. The question is, how is it that Jesus was so confident that he would say, Father, I thank you that you hear me. You heard me. And you always hear me. Sometimes we think, he was Jesus. No! It's not only because he was Jesus. The answer is in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, now this is the confidence. This is where he drew his confidence from. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything in according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. The confidence comes from knowing his will. His will, his word. So if you cannot know, you do not know the Bible or the word of God, how will you know his will for your life? And that is why you'll be sick and you're thinking, Lord, God is teaching me something. Lord, if you are willing, heal me. No! His word says, by his stripes, you were healed. Are you seeing that? Because we knew God's word. We stood on it when we prayed for the people that raised their hands. Our sister there has been healed. And I believe the rest of you that raised your hands have been healed. Just believe it. Believe his word. Believe his word. Believe his word. The confidence comes in knowing his word. Let me mention, lastly, three things. Three things that faith does. Number one, faith sees the answer before it manifests. Faith sees the answer before it manifests. Mark 11:23-24. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So the question is, when do you believe that it is done? When you pray. When you speak to the mountain, say, be moved. Believe in that moment. Faith does not wait for the manifestation to say, is it changing? No. No. God willing. No. The reason why we're handing it over and thinking God willing is simply because we do not know what his word says. And we do not know and believe what his word says. If you know that God said, he wants me well. He supplies my needs according to his riches and glory. When you stand on his word, you are not moved. Because why? His word is real. You believe his word and hold on to it. Children of God, let the manifestation find you on your way praising God. Do not wait for the manifestation. Let it find you already praising God. Thanking him. Because why? You stood on his word. And his word was clear that in this situation, God wants you to have it. So you speak God's word in that situation. Number two. Faith speaks to the mountain or situation. Faith is not quiet and silent. In fact, Mark Henking says, do not face your giant with your mouth closed. Do not face your giant with your mouth closed. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 33 says, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For you are a youth, And he, a man of war from his youth, it's like, where you are is where he started fighting. You are a youth. Eh? But he is a warrior since his youth. So where you are in Genesis. Him is in Revelation. Are you seeing that? For you are a youth. But David said to Saul, listen to what he said. Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the stock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. When it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Speak to your mountain. Speak to your situation. Speak change. Speak God's word in that situation. And listen to this. Where can you draw the confidence? His word. What can encourage you? If God did it before, if the Lord provided 100 kwacha for you, he is able to provide 1,000 today. The same God that provided yesterday is able to provide today. Stand on his word and believe his word. His word is truth. Believe him. Do not neglect the small beginnings. Remember where he's picking you from. And if he did it before, he will do it again. Because he's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. If he healed yesterday, he is healing today. And he will heal tomorrow. So the Philistine came. Verse 40. Verse 40 says, then he took his staff and in his hand, and he chose for him 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag and a pouch, which he had, and the sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. Yeah, it's important we mention that, huh? Praise God. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come with sticks, to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Verse 45 is where we're landing. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, with a spear and the javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. David knew something, that God will deliver you in my hand. He had experienced something. There is something he knew about God. He read it somewhere. Are you seeing that? He'll deliver you in my hand, and I will strike you. He will not just deliver you. I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give your carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not serve with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. Speak to your situation. The battle is the Lord's. He knew something here. He knew something here. And he stood on those words. And you know how the story ended. One stone, ground. Head chopped. Lifted up. Birds were eating. Close of chapter. Where did he win the battle? He won the battle when he was facing the mountain. Don't face the mountain and say, this BP of mine, I don't know, this is the pastor, just pray for us, stand with us, see our family, trouble has been following us, I think it's bad luck, be praying for us, pastor, you see these things, you are the ones who are anointed, come on, speak to your mountain, you want circumcised Philistine, oh, speak to your mountain in the name of Jesus, speak and tell it, I know my God will deliver you in my hands. Be removed and be cast in the sea. Speak to your mountain. Speak to your mountain. Mark Hinking said this. He says, God's word didn't come out of his pen. It came out of his mouth. It was spoken before it was written. And it was written so it can be spoken. It was written so it can be spoken. It is not. That is why those that get Bibles and put them under the pillow not to dream bad dreams, it does not work. Get the word in your heart and speak to the mountain. Speak the word of God to that situation. Hallelujah. Last one. Faith maintains the confession of God's word. Faith maintains the confession of God's word. In Hebrews 13 verse 15 it says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him. The word thanks here is the Greek word meaning to confess and acknowledge. Your faith lives and flourishes as your mouth continually is filled with praise. Your faith will never rise above the level of your confession. We need to cast our cares to him. Worship team, please come. We need to cast our cares to him. We need to cast our cares to him. Let me tell you something here. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. For he cares for you. I love the New Living Translation. It says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. You see, one of the reasons why we don't see miracles and things happen in our lives is this. Imagine, I'm not saying this chair is God. Imagine this was God right there. And you have a problem and a situation. You're carrying a burden. I don't know how you're carrying it. Maybe like that. Or maybe this is your burden. And we go before the Lord. And he says, cast your cares. So if this is the Lord, we ought to cast and leave it. But there is something that happens. When you cast it onto the Lord, it means you no longer have it. What happens is when you walk away free. But the problem is this. Many of the times we've become acclimatized to the problem. It seems as though we own it. And because the care is more real, even when we leave it, we still go back and pick it and walk away. You're laughing, but it's the truth. Because why? We are more used to this. This is what we know. This is what we've been carrying for years. But Jesus is saying, cast unto me and walk away. Leave it to him. Walk away. Trusting. What are you walking away with? You're walking believing with faith that God has done it. That God has done it. I don't know what problem you have today. We're going to sing a song. And as we sing, if you want, you can be seated. If you want, you can stand, however comfortable you want to be. But as we sing, believing God for a miracle in your life today, that you're not walking away the same, you're walking away different. Thank you. God. Behold, you are the God of our flesh, and there is nothing that is too difficult for you, Lord. We thank you that the sick are healed in this place in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for financial breakthroughs, O God. We thank you for open doors and opportunities for those that are believing you for jobs. Because there is nothing that is impossible with you, O God. Father, we thank you. Wherever you are, just receive from God that which he has for you. Receive in the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. Believe his word. Believe his word. Believe what he has said about that situation. And you walk away of this place knowing that God has done it. He has done it. He has done it. Thank you, Father. Nothing is impossible with you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Every eye closed in this place. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that arthritis is lifting up and there's healing right now. In the name of Jesus, tumors are falling off right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, right now, receive your healing. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. As every eye is closed, we believe God has done a miracle. But the greatest miracle that you can receive is accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Believing him. Coming to him. Probably you're here, you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never made him your Lord and Savior. That even as we're talking about faith, all these things cannot work for you and until you make the first step, which is accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And he will do a miracle in your life. He will change your life. Because probably you've been trying to change your life by yourself and you failed. Come to Jesus and he will help you. Or maybe you're a Christian that get backslidden and fallen off. And you're saying, you know what? I need to get back and start living in faith. Living in what God has called me to. If you're here, you've never accepted Jesus, and you're saying, I would like to accept Jesus, Pastor. Wherever you are, just raise your hand. I want to see it. Don't think twice about it. Come to Jesus. He's calling you. You've been living a life away from Jesus. It's not because you're in church that you are saved. It's not because you were baptized that you're in saved. You need to accept him. Make him your Lord and Savior. Do you have any hand? Do you have anybody who's saying, I need Jesus in my life? I want to accept him. I want to make things right with God. I've not lived right with God. Is there anybody? There's a hand in the parents' room. Thank you so much for that hand. Any other? Thank you for those hands. Thank you so much. Wherever you are, I kindly ask, come with your Bible. Wherever you are, just come. Come to the front. Come and meet me here. We pray together. Church, I ask that we don't leave. Let's respect this moment. This is the greatest miracle. Yes, there's healing, there's everything, but salvation is the most important thing. Thank you, Lord. If you're there and you're still thinking, I don't know if I you're debating, it's a sign. Probably you need to be here. Come. Come. God bless you. Come. We're waiting for you. Jesus is calling you. Come and make things right with him. Come and make things right with Jesus. We're waiting for you. There was somebody in the parents' room. Come. Jesus is calling you. Or maybe you had missed the way. Jesus is calling on you. Don't feel ashamed. These people won't look down on you. They'll celebrate with you knowing that you've made the best decision. Is anybody coming? Down on you. Just come. Come. The best decision you made, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Awesome. Stand there. God bless you. Praise the Lord. This is the best decision you can make. Okay?
promises. He will lead you to a place of prayer. He will pray with you. And you'll be able to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. And He'll give you a book which will help you understand even that which you've decided to do.